So the reason most teams struggle is because they have a dysfunctional culture, and this leaves coaches frustrated with entitled players, losing seasons, and toxic environments. At Thrive on Challenge, though, we believe that the silver bullet is a transformational culture. We help coaches to create and sustain transformational cultures so they can strengthen relationships, raise standards, and impact lives. Head on over to thriveonchallenge.com to learn more about our mentorship program, workshops, and retreats for coaches. Or you could send me a message at jpnurbun, N-E-R-B-U-N, at thriveonchallenge.com if you're thinking about taking the next step to a transformational culture.
In October of last year, ESPN published an article by Baxter Holmes that was more or less an expose on the dirty little secret that everybody in the NBA knows about, but nobody wants to acknowledge. And it wasn't about drug abuse. It wasn't about things that are happening with illegal free agency. The issue at hand was the lack of sleep for NBA players. Now, this article went on to talk about how difficult the NBA schedule is with travel and 82 games and how hard it is for players to get an adequate amount of sleep. But it isn't just that they're not sleeping enough. It's the effect that it's having on the players' mental and physical health that really was trying to sound the alarm as to how important it is for coaches and executives to be aware of this issue. Now, JP, when I was reading the article, I was struck by a couple of things. Number one, some of the players in the league that have had some of the most storied careers in the NBA, guys like LeBron James and Vince Carter, who is 42 years old, just like I am, stated in the article the number one thing that they credit to their longevity and to their effective performance is sleep. Now, in the article, Baxter interviews a number of NBA players and just asks them about their sleep routines. And there are some crazy things going on in the NBA for guys who are trying to maximize as much sleep as possible. LeBron James, who we just mentioned here, has a routine in his hotel room where he turns off his electronic devices 30 to 45 minutes before going to sleep. There's NBA players that travel with blackout curtains and put them up in their hotel rooms every place that they stay on the road. Tobias Harris uses some crazy EEG machines that he plugs himself into after every game to monitor his brain waves, his heart rate, and his breathing in order to bring those things to a level that is conducive to him falling asleep as soon as possible when he arrives at the hotel. And the reason for all of this investment is that more and more psychologists and doctors are studying the effect of sleep on the brain and on the physical health of athletes. And they're finding that the effect of a lack of sleep on memory and retention and creativity and physical injury, all of those things are dramatically impacted by a lack of quality sleep. Now, JP, I think the challenge for us as coaches at the collegiate level or the high school level is, if this is affecting professional athletes whose only job is to prepare their body for performance, how is a lack of sleep affecting the athletes that we are working with at our levels? And what, as coaches, can we do about it?
Welcome to the Coaching Culture Podcast. I'm JP Nurbun alongside my co-host, Nate Sanderson. And every week in 30 minutes or less, we're giving you transformational leadership tools and strategies. This podcast is brought to you by Thrive on Challenge, which provides mentorship for coaches to help them grow as a coach and build their culture. You can learn more at thriveonchallenge.com. You're listening to episode 122, Why Your Athletes Need More Sleep and What to Do About It.
Now, JP, as we dive into this subject of sleep, I know you've read a book by a neuroscientist named Matthew Walker, who is widely acclaimed as one of the experts in this research area. And he wrote a book called Why We Sleep, talking about the downsides of a lack of sleep on human life, not just on athletic performance. You want to talk a little bit about what you discovered in reading through some of Walker's work?
Well, let me first caution our listeners before you go buy the book. It is a really, really big book, and it goes really deep into the science of sleep. But for me, it's kind of fascinating and interesting. It's probably deeper than we need to go as coaches. But what we've been doing is we've been sharing some of this research, some of the benefits about sleep, and we've been sharing it with coaches, we've been sharing it with the players, and we've been sharing it with those parents, because I've come to understand, and so much of this research has shown, that we actually view sleep the wrong way as a culture, as a society. You know, typically, especially in sports, it's we prioritize the workout, the exercise, the training, the practice session. And then we talk about nutrition. We understand that nutrition, and that's been obviously a bigger focus in the last 10 to 20 years. And we've understood how important nutrition is to recovery, to performance. But even more important, those two things in our life and just to overall living a good life and being healthy is sleep. And the benefits are incredible. I mean, you know, it's going to, if you get the recommended amount of sleep, it's going to extend the time that it takes to reach physical exhaustion by 30%. It's going to improve information and memory retention. It's going to improve muscular strength and cardiovascular function. It's going to improve your ability to cool the body, for the body to perspire, to remove lactic acid, and achieve muscle recovery. And that's really, all those things are all dependent upon the proper amount of sleep and making sure that we hit that 8 hours. In fact, if we don't hit that 8 hours of sleep that's recommended, 70% of our weight loss will actually be muscle mass, not body fat. And you've obviously mentioned too, just the mental and emotional health is significantly improved when we hit that perfect 8 hours. But I think one of the other big things that is really fascinating about the research is how none of us are exempt from this. None of us are exempt. Some of us think we can get that 6 hours or 7 hours, we can get by with that. But the research shows that's not true. Matthew Walker shares one of my favorite stories there is he shares how researchers out of Penn and Harvard medical schools, they wanted to see if people could actually avoid that 8 hours, that magical 8 hours, without suffering some serious negative consequences. So they did this research where over a 2-week period, they studied four groups of people. Now the first group, they just made them go without sleep for 3 days. But groups 2, 3, and 4, they received 4 hours, 6 hours, and 8 hours of sleep every night. Now, all the groups were continuously monitored and tested for behavioral, psychological, mental, emotional, and physical changes. And for the people that argue that they can do without 8 hours of sleep, the results were not very affirming to that, okay? The researchers saw, first off, significant deficiencies in all cognitive and physical tasks with absolutely no difference between the 4 hour and 6 hour group, which is amazing because you think, I may not get 8 hours of sleep, but at least I got six. That's better than not getting, and then sleeping 4 hours. And that's not true. There's this tipping point where the anything less than eight and you're going to see a severe drop in all those cognitive and physical tasks. Now, the other alarming result was that the 4 hour and 6 hour groups, they produced deficiencies that were equal to the 2 nights of total sleep deprivation. That first group that went without sleep for 2 nights, they saw the same levels of deficiency. That's incredible. That's incredible. For just after 4 or 5 nights of only sleeping on 4 to 6 hours, you might as well have gone 2 nights without sleep. And the last big thing that those researchers found out or discovered was that not only did people have a significant drop in their performance, they were totally unaware that their performance was suffering. And I think for that fact alone, this is why it's such a problem. I think as coaches and as athletes, we think we can get by. We don't notice that how it's negatively impacting us, our health and our performance. And so we never prioritize it. We just hope that we can get some sleep, but we almost sometimes, and this is a big, big issue, we pride ourselves on going without sleep when it's completely reckless and irresponsible. And we've got to, as coaches and as athletes, we've got to change that stigma around getting lots of sleep as if it's a negative.
Now, JP, when we start to take in some of that research, you know, we think about the effect on an NBA athlete. It might be easy to say that the collegiate or high school athletes that we're working with, well, they don't face the same challenges in their schedule. You know, they're not playing until 10 o'clock at night, getting on a charter bus to take them to the airport, getting on a plane at 11:30, flying to another city, landing at 2 a.m., getting their hotel at 3, and then getting ready for a game again that night. Those obstacles make perfect sense when we think about the NBA schedule. But when you think about the athletes that we're working with, There are a number of challenges that they're facing as well when it comes to getting that 8 to 9 hours of sleep that Walker recommends. We might be playing a basketball game until 9 o'clock at night, get out of the locker room at 9:15. We're on a bus ride that's an hour, hour and 15 minutes back to the high school. You know, on a Tuesday night, we get home at 10:30. We have finals this week, or, you know, kids have their own academic load, or they may have an hour or two of homework that they can't do on the bus or a test to get ready for the next day. And all of a sudden, there's this pressure to stay up until 12 or 1 or later because there's so many things that they have to get done for the following day for school. Now, when you're working with coaches and you're helping them to try to make this a priority for their athletes and even educating the parents in the programs, what are some things that you're doing that seem to be making a little bit of difference for some of the coaches in our program?
Well, it starts with educating them on simple habits, improving their habits around sleep that can improve the quality and actually increase the quantity of sleep, how much sleep they get, without actually asking them to give up certain things. Because as soon as you say, you know, you need to sleep more, people are going to come back with, I don't have the time. And so I've got five simple habits that can help. And we try to communicate these to the athletes and their parents, and even to some coaches, that are going to help improve their sleep. And the first and the number one thing is the phone, because the phone creates not just extra stress and anxiety before you go to sleep, because you're checking social media and news and all those things that have been proven to create anxiety and stress in our life, but it delays us going to sleep. And then the science has shown that screen time negatively impacts the quality of our sleep. And so we encourage habits around putting the phone in the other room, leaving the phone downstairs, but just keeping the phone out of the bedroom. Big help. The second thing we talk about is the environment and the climate there, is creating a room that is dark and the temperature is around 68 to 70 degrees Fahrenheit. Very important. The third thing is to have a bedtime routine. Just something, it could be reading a book, prayers, reflection, mindfulness, journaling, whatever, something that you're doing consistently that becomes this mental trigger in your mind that prepares it for, now it is time for me to go to sleep. The fourth thing is just another little simple hack of just taking the TV out of the bedroom, taking homework, schoolwork, trying to do it someplace else, or at least out of the bed, because we want, when we hop in that bed, we want our mind to associate that bed with as a time for sleep. And the research has shown that that's a helpful thing as well. And the last thing, which I think is incredibly hard and probably not possible in season, is consistent times. Because you got those road games, you're going to struggle to get people to bed at a consistent time, which is why we just try to say, hey, it's fine. You can't get to bed on a consistent time. Try for those other things, because those other things are going to help you in a big way.
Without even having read through the book, over the last probably 6 months or so, my wife and I have actually committed to not having phones in the bedroom when we go to bed at night and not bringing laptops in and stuff like that. And I'll tell you, I've found personally that the quality of my sleep has improved dramatically, and just the ability to fall asleep, exactly like you said, because the screens aren't just a distraction, they often introduce stress. And when those stress hormones start to fire, then it makes it even harder to fall asleep. So I can attest that there is a huge benefit in trying to do that. Now, the question becomes, when you're working with your team or you're working with teenage athletes, is how do you monitor that, or how do you encourage them to do that on a consistent basis, if nothing more, so that they can find some of the benefits of having a little bit more sleep at night? What are some things that you've encouraged coaches to do to help athletes be more consistent in finding quality sleep?
Well, Nate, it first starts off with awareness. You know, do you have a sleep problem on your team? And the chances are very likely, but some players may struggle with it more than others. And so one of my favorite things that coaches have been doing, that I took from Mark Cassio, a basketball coach in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, a phenomenal coach down there, he started doing, was sending out a daily Google form to his players with three questions. And it was, how many hours did you sleep last night? What's your mood? And is there anything we need to be aware of that as a coaching staff? And that sounds like, oh my gosh, I'm sending out a Google form every day. But once you build the system in place, you literally copy, paste, send out the text, and the players fill it out within 30 seconds. They send it back to you. It populates into a Google sheet. As a coach, you can literally pull that sheet up and scroll down and look through there and see, oh, boy, this guy didn't sleep much last night, or you can pick up on patterns, you know, if it's consistently not getting the sleep that they should. And that can all be done in like less than 5 minutes. And you're getting this information, so you're able to figure out where problems are. But then this is the next big thing is, whether you walk into practice or after practice, you can have those one-on-one conversations with players where they can communicate what challenges they're personally facing within their own life around their own sleep habits, because it's always very, very like personal. Like everyone's got their own challenges. And so just trying to help people with this big broad brush of do this and do this doesn't necessarily help. And so you can actually work with those players that are struggling on a very personal level to overcome the obstacles, the things in their life that are keeping them from getting the sleep that they need to have. Now, the other strategy that we found to be really effective at helping those players get the sleep that they need is around team or player commitments. And there was a story last year at the NCAA tournament around Texas Tech basketball. And they made it all the way to the championship game against Virginia. But just around that time they make the championship game, a story broke on multiple news sites around how they had made a commitment a few months back as a team to give up their phones on the night before games. Now, the other thing that we have found to be really helpful in helping teams get that sleep that they need to get, that's so important, is team or player commitments. So there's a story from last year that came out, for instance, that where Texas Tech basketball, who made this great run to the NCAA championship and lost to Virginia in that championship game. Well, a story came out around the time of the championship game where, back in January, Texas Tech had just gone on a 3-game losing streak. And as a team, they made the commitment to give up their phones to their coaches the night before games. They would turn them into one of their coaches or the managers. And the players were talking about how that played such a critical role in what they believed their success. Because they said when they were not only getting more sleep, but they were just able to disconnect the night before the game and just be more present and avoid all the noise out there on social media and from friends and family and people texting them. And they were just able to be really much more present and be able to prepare for the game. So that was an example of a team commitment that could help improve their sleep. And so this you could obviously do like Texas Tech when you're on the road, but in a lot of cultures it may not be possible. You may not just have many overnight games. But it could simply just be you coming in the night before the game, asking your team, how many hours of sleep do we need to get tonight as a team to be at our best tomorrow, to be successful? What's an appropriate bedtime if everybody has to be out of bed at this time? And just getting the players to articulate that and set that goal or that commitment, that can be helpful. The other way that we've seen this to be really effective and to get, because we don't want to be policing their behaviors, and you want to get them to support each other, to hold each other accountable. And we use our captains' councils and their units and the guys that they're looking after to make a commitment. And they may commit as a group to a certain amount of hours of sleep, or to be in bed by a certain time, or to not use social media or play video games after a certain hour during the week or during that day. But in their smaller groups, they're making commitments, and then they're holding each other accountable to that. The next day they'll review their commitment. Did everybody follow through on that? And they actually, in some instances, are coming up with a consequence. They determine the consequence, and then they enforce the consequence if, as a group, they don't all follow through on their commitments. So those are some ways that we've seen to be really, really effective at getting players to hold each other accountable and support each other, rather than us having to police what time they went to bed at night, because that would just be exhausting on top of all the other things that we've got to worry about as coaches.
Now, JP, I know in your travels, as you're working with teams across the country here, that you often do a parent presentation as part of some of your workshops. And in that presentation, you include information about sleep and the importance of sleep and how parents can be supportive of their athletes. What are you telling parents when you have the opportunity about kind of this message of the vitality and the importance of getting enough sleep?
Yeah, well, when I'm talking to them about how they can support their sons or daughters that season, It's actually the first thing that I talked about this year is I've been giving those workshops because I think it's so important. And I simply just go through some of the stuff I've shared today. I educate why it's so important, talk a little bit about the research, talk about some habits, and how they are the number one influencer on whether their child, their son or daughter, is going to be able to get appropriate sleep or not. You know, I really encourage that. You know, the coaches can do only so much, but they have a really, really big impact at the high school level or below in sports. And so I really encourage them to really step up in that way. And I get it. You're not going to get fall through from every parent, just like you're not going to get fall through from every player. But, you know, we're hearing stories of success. I was just got off the phone before we recorded this episode, and I was talking to a coach down in Georgia, and I had done some work with his parents. And, you know, he's hearing from the parents how their sons are turning the phones into them. You know, they're bringing, hey, I'm going to leave this down here, mom, dad. You know, some parents are talking about that. Other parents are talking about how they're reminding their sons, you know, to leave their phone downstairs or to leave it in another room. So it's kind of this whole team effort where coaches are supporting each other, the players are supporting each other. And now you're bringing this other element in where the parents are supporting and encouraging. And that coach isn't seeing 100% fall through in that program. None of the coaches are, but you're seeing it with a lot of players, and those players are seeing the benefit of it. And when you do that, more and more people are going to follow along. You don't have to try to change the whole team. Just get certain players and certain families moving in the right direction, and you're going to feel the benefits in your program.
Now, JP, you and I both know that sleep doesn't just affect our team's performance because of what athletes are doing overnight, but also coaches need to take some responsibility for the amount of sleep that they are getting as well. And you know, as we've talked about this and I've looked at some of these articles that you've shared, I think one of the biggest challenges for me, especially in the middle of our season, is am I better off watching one more game or another hour of game film or thinking more about our practice plan when it's 10:30, 11 o'clock, 11:30 at night? Or would I be better for my team by investing that time in getting an extra hour of sleep? And I've never really thought about the significance of that before we started looking at this research. But what would your advice be for coaches who, I mean, we all face that pressure of trying to do a little bit more to prepare and a little bit more to gain that edge, when really the edge might be getting enough sleep for us as well?
So the article you referenced at the beginning of this podcast, for the ESPN article about the NBA, they actually quote Matthew Walker in that article. And he has this great line on in there. And he says, based on the weight of probably now about 10,000 empirical scientific studies, the number of people who can survive on 6 hours of sleep or less without showing any impairment, rounded to a whole number and expressed as a percent of the population, is zero. So all these things about sleep and how important it is, it doesn't just apply to our players. It applies to us. It's so, so important. And you bring up a really good question of, like, you know, the trade-off. Like, do I do more work, or do I get the proper amount of sleep? And, you know, there's so many health benefits to sleep. I'm obviously not going to cover all those things. You know, it took Matthew Walker, you know, 400 pages in his book. But the two big things that stick out to me are, one is just our overall health. Our life will be improved. Our emotional health will be in a happier place. We'll be more present. We'll be able to be our best self for our team only with the proper amount of sleep. We have to have the proper amount of sleep. The second big thing that I would say from a health perspective that's so important for us is the importance that Walker talks about in the research of the various levels and stages of sleep and the importance of REM sleep. You know, essentially very, very, very dumbed down, early stages of sleep take our short-term memory, the things that experienced that day, puts them into long-term. But the deeper stages of sleep, the REM sleep, that really good sleep, it takes those long-term memories and it helps us actually, while we're sleeping, to interpret and understand. And so what does that mean for us? It means that if we are stuck, you know, we're stuck on how to put together the game plan for tomorrow or how to approach a problem in tomorrow's practice, or we've got an issue with certain players and we just are stuck on how to figure it out, or we're coming at it with the same approach that we've had in the past, if we get the proper amount of sleep, we have a significantly better chance of coming at it with a much more creative solution than our default solution that we might approach that problem. So getting that extra sleep can take us to a level of coaching that we've never experienced before, because so many of us have probably coached sleep deprived our entire career. And I think for us as coaches, possibly for many of us, the bigger challenge here isn't, you know, this compulsion to feel like, oh, that extra hour of film is going to really make a difference. It's more around this stigma that we've carried around, the stigma in sport and sports and in the workplace, that the guy that burns the midnight oil, the guy that doesn't sleep, he wants it more. He's the harder worker. And that just isn't true. That just isn't true. And so, you know, we need to break free from this stigma around the less I sleep, the harder I'm working, and focus on actually taking care of ourselves and helping our players take care of themselves so that we can all be at our best. Because otherwise, all the work that we put in practices and games and film study, that is all diminished. That's all diminished if we're not getting the proper amount of sleep. Now, this week's episode in the coaching notes PDF that we put out every week through our newsletter, it's going to include a few links that I think will be really, really valuable for you as a coach. The first is that ESPN article on NBA players and sleep. I think regardless of what sport you coach, that would be a very valuable article to at least pull out some of the pieces from that and share with your players. If they know LeBron James and these NBA athletes are that intentional about their sleep, I think it'll really catch their attention. The other thing is I've got an article that I've written on how sleep deprivation is hurting athletes and six habits for better sleep. It's some of the stuff that I've shared today, and that's worth sending not just to your players, but to their parents as well, and kind of like a weekly email that you might be sending out already to them. Just an encouragement for them to be a little bit more cognizant and helpful in trying to build those habits in their kids. The other article is an article about Texas Tech basketball team and how banning smartphones helped propel them to that NCAA tournament run. And so I think those are that's another article you could share with your team and even potentially the parents that could help to promote some of these healthy habits around sleep. So what you need to do is you need to go to thriveonchallenge.com and you can subscribe to the weekly newsletter there, or there's a link in the episode details of this podcast for you to click, and that will take you to where you can just enter in your email and you'll start to get those weekly newsletter. And in that weekly newsletter, it will include the article, my weekly article, and also the podcast notes and a link for that week's podcast. And you're not going to want to miss this week's podcast. So don't wait another second. Go and sign up right now to the Thrive On Challenge weekly newsletter.